All right, welcome to the Brandon Dree Podcast. Today we're going to be a little bit more directly political. And I generally like to stay in ideas land. I don't like to mention Nancy Pelosi. Mostly because I don't really follow her much. I don't keep up with modern politics in that way, usually. But today got me excited, and so we're going to talk about a little bit more modern stuff. What do you call that when it's on the cutting edge of news? All right, so the title of this one, kind of a long title, but Pardoning the Serial Killer in Your Basement Because the Pedophile Across the Street. How about that? Is that a nail biter? Are you sucked in? No, it's just kind of stupid, isn't it? All right, and so basically this is a rant about the political duopoly in the United States. Now, Freakonomics did... What was that? Freakonomics did a special whole episode on the duopoly. Episode 356, America's Hidden Duopoly. And they hit the Republican and Democrat duopoly pretty hard, but they got into even like Coke and Pepsi, and there's a few other things where there is a benefit to having an enemy, and it reinforces your own team, and you can actually win. You get a boingy, boingy, boingy effect. Bounce up, so you bounce too far to the left, and it goes automatically to the right. You have automatic momentum, if you will, towards your side. It benefits both teams to basically bounce. Except if you add a third dimension in there, it ruins the game. Everything changes. So, again, I highly recommend that. I need to dig that up. I wish I would have done that ahead of time, but I just thought of it. But Freakonomics duopoly, highly recommended. Okay, so here's the interesting fact number one. And so you find out some meaningless dirt, any meaningless dirt you possibly can about your enemy, and you push it as hard as possible. And it can be anything. It doesn't really matter what it is. And so, like this morning, what kind of inspired this, I was really interested in, well, I'm going to save my topic. I was interested in a current topic that should be on the front page of everything this week, but apparently isn't. And Twitter is raging about Trump's golf excursions. And one guy was bragging that Biden has played golf zero times after 40 days in office. But Trump played golf all the time. How much did that cost? The taxpayer, this, and I'm sure flying around in the Air Force One and all the Secret Service guys is expensive. The federal government spent how many trillions of dollars last year? I'm going to say 10, even if it's 2, so whatever. It's spent trillions of dollars. I'm not too worried about the golf excursions. And it's more, even more interesting about this particular argument is it responsible for a guy who's the president, has possibly the most stressful job in the world? Is it responsible for him to not take breaks and not take vacations? Like, I never understood that. I know W. Bush got in trouble all the time for taking vacations. And man, if you're about to freaking Columbine the universe and you have the nuclear football, maybe we should give you a break. I don't know. I just never understood that argument. But regardless, you just pick something. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be totally arbitrary. Let's pick golf. Trump sucks because of golf. And I'm not defending Trump. I never voted for him. I don't have any interest in him. But saying that Biden's better because he doesn't play golf just strikes me as a weird way of spending your time on Twitter. That is a strange argument. And the argument is because of all the money expended. Okay, so that's it. The first one. You find out meaningless dirt, any meaningless dirt you possibly can about your quote-unquote enemy. So you got to have an enemy. You can't just be all the other stupid people that aren't an enemy. You know, like the other guy at the stoplight, you're not sure if he's going to stop when he's supposed to. Is he the enemy or just some other guy? Some other dummy, you know. Okay, number two, we have to accept that our guy or gal, at least it's she or he, is not as bad as the other guy. And this is where the duopoly gets interesting. You never have to be any good. You just have to be better than your opponent. It's, what's that old expression where you don't have to be faster than the bear? You just have to be faster than your friend. It's kind of like that. Okay, and so the big topic of the week that I'm interested in, which I suspect costs more than golf, both in terms of dollars and dignity and world affairs and every metric we have. This week, Joe Biden bombed Iran-backed militias in Syria after about a month in office, maybe a little bit more. And of course, Democrats used to be anti-war. You know, now they're anti-vacation. We hate vacations. We hate them. We hate them. War's fine. Just don't play golf. And I want to be clear. Actually, I'll wait on something else too. Okay, so, hang on, I got to read something real quick. So yeah, the general consensus is, well, maybe Biden did bomb somebody, but at least he hasn't played golf yet. So therefore, he's better than Trump. You know, that's a strange place. And this is why I get into, we got the serial killer. Joe Biden's a serial killer today, whereas Trump is the, the pedophile across the street. I don't know if that's true. Allegedly, this is all pretend. I'm not actually accusing him of any of this. I think I have to say that because of lawyers. But if that was the case, we would forgive our guy and because of the other guy. And so number three, you pardon the serial killer in your basement. And this is my favorite part about the duopoly. Because their guy is worse than our guy, at least our guy ain't as bad as him. Because of that, we can forgive our guy for anything. So, because Biden played less golf than Trump, it's okay that he bombed militias in Syria. Because Trump didn't put us in the Paris Accords, it's okay that Biden bombed militias in Syria. Well, I don't know why these all are connected. It seems like everything has to be oversimplified for people. So you just pick your side, and then if the other side does anything remotely questionable, then they are allowed to do anything they want. Your own side's allowed to do anything. And so, how about even from the climate change perspective? All right, there are people that are skeptical about the Paris Accords, and they say that they actually won't have any impact on the environment, even if you want that. So, you know, I don't have a background in the climate thing too much, but to say one way or the other. But what is it going to affect climate change more? Paris Accords or us sending aircraft carriers and bombs over to Syria? I got a hunch that if we just kept our aircraft carriers home for 6 months, we might even be able to measure that climatologists would be like, damn, things have gotten better. What the fuck? I don't know if that's true. For all I know, all of our fighter jets are completely carbon neutral. We're not wasting any energy on our military. But it's just a strange thing, yeah, when the left says, yeah, military probably needed to do it. If Biden said it, he's going to get us in the Paris Accords. He must be good. So, and of course, this whole pardoning the serial killer in your basement thing, and it goes the other way, too. And, you know, this is back a few years ago. Was it 2017, I think? And Trump said, we got to have these tariffs because of China. And even that I didn't fully understand. And I heard no opposition from Republicans. And there are a lot of Republicans around here. No Republicans said, what? Tariffs? Because, you know, the consensus, or at least the general idea, is the only thing Republicans care about, of course, is the economy. They care about their families and their dogs and shit, too. But people leave that part out. But Republicans are usually like pretty up on the money end, and they don't like the government taking their money, and they don't like the government charging them more taxes. That used to be, like, these are fundamental tenets of the Republican Party. But Trump said, we're going to crank up these tariffs. And he's cranking them up a lot, by the way. Like, scary amount. Like, the same amount that Biden wants to crank up minimum wage. Like, that style of an increase, as far as I'm concerned. The numbers are sketchy, but you get the idea. It's a scary amount. And Republicans are just crickets. Nothing. Like, why aren't you Republicans freaking out about his tariffs? And, of course, right after that, you know, the steel industry got screwed, and the farmers got screwed. Like, basically, his core demographic, you know, they're, like, down billions of dollars, and they had to come up with all this emergency aid business. And it's like, no one ever explained why we need these tariffs. And maybe that's the point of the politician, is he can oversimplify things for you, so you don't have to think. You don't have to read three books or five books to get a feel for what's going on. You don't have to consider the pros and cons of a given thing. You just say, oh, blah, blah, blah. So maybe all this is just a big outsourcing thing, but Republicans are just as guilty of just supporting their guy, even when he does something that's god-awful. And I want to say, just to be clear, the Republicans had no problem with the Trump tariffs, but I know who did, is the freaking economists. I saw some study that said 99% of all economists rejected it. 99? Now, economics has quite a few Republicans in it. That's actually a balanced I don't know if economics is kind of like math and humanities mixed together. But even still, they have like a disproportionate number of Republicans compared to, let me rephrase that. Economics is usually pretty balanced party-wise, politics-wise. And all of them practically said, tariffs are stupid. Tariffs are just, we're just going to raise a tax to what again? To make stuff more expensive for businesses? Oh, that's good. So, of course, you know, I don't have the credentials to get too heavy into the tariff business, and maybe I'm oversimplifying it. And by all means, correct me. I'd love to learn, but I'd like to know what I'm doing wrong here. But regardless, when Trump did something that was against the core values of Republicans, raising taxes, adding tariffs, excise taxes, they forgave him. They had no problem with it. And even I heard one person say, and again, you know, we're just quoting one person, how the media does it, but it's fun. Well, one guy said, well, Trump may have did them tariffs, but Obama tried to take our guns, which I don't think Obama ever formally tried to take the guns. Am I wrong? I don't know. I'm pretty sure you can still get an AR-15, and I don't know. I'd love to have AR-15, by the way. Anyway, keeping on. So the big result of the duopoly, which I find very interesting, is you don't have to hold your guy or gal accountable. And why? And because there's an enemy. And since politicians know that our team won't be held accountable, well, they're really only already 45% there. So if you want to pull something, pull some bullshit, whatever it is, it can even be against your party, but let's assume it's the other guy. Your own team is just going to forgive you because that's what they do. And then you really only have to deal with, say, 45% of the other guys, because 5% of them actually don't like bullshit either. And what I mean by that is, with Biden in this case, he started this war, bombs, or whatever the hell he's up to. He's definitely dropping bombs. 45% of all Democrats have already forgave him. They're back to golf. What? Who cares about the war? Biden did it. It's fine. So only about 5% of your lefties are going to be mad about the war. And I will give credit to Rose McGowan. You know, I haven't been a fan of anything she's done, and since that cold weather scene in Scream, that was fantastic acting. But since then, I've just never been a fan. But I tell you what, she slammed Biden, called him evil. Evil's kind of boring, but she slammed Biden, and for starting another war and bombing people. She doesn't want people being bombed, and we at least need to have a good argument for it. Was there a Pearl Harbor we didn't know about? I mean, was America in danger? And we'll kind of get into the rationalization here in a second. But so at least Rose McGowan is leading the cause of all people. So of course she's a little bit nuts, some might say. So maybe 5% of the left is going to actually call Biden out. The rest, I did my math wrong, didn't I? That's 10%. So 2.5%. Yeah. Look at that engineer boy catching his math flaws. Anyway, 2.5% of the Democrats are going to complain. 2.5% of all people, that's the difference here, are going to complain about the war. The rest of the Democrats are fine, and the rest of the people are fine. And Republicans aren't going to say anything either, because they conventionally, you know, don't care about war. They're fine with it. You know, you just make a new Alan Jackson song, and you've got the Republicans on your side for any war you want. And of course, with those 5% raise in hell, the Rose McGowans of the world, you know, spearheading democracy, all you need is one distraction to keep Rose McGowan off Twitter, or at least, you know, down on the rankings or whatever, and we have it. We have our distraction of the week. The distraction of the week is Lady Gaga's dogs got kidnapped. Every fucking time I turn on Twitter, I see something about Lady Gaga's dogs. And I don't keep up with Lady Gaga. I am a fan of the first album, thank you. I had only deleted like 3 songs off it. I like it. I run to it frequently, even, you know, 2021. So, you know, whatever. I never got into her other stuff. But I don't really think about her. I don't think about her dogs. I'm sure many dogs got kidnapped this week, but we're going to focus on hers. So ultimately, as long as you've got your side is on your team, except for a few nut jobs, and you can distract them out with Lady Gaga's dogs, then the politician can do whatever the hell they want. And you're done. That suddenly isn't democracy anymore. And so, again, going back to this, why do we not hold our own guy accountable? Because of the enemy. So, like, Nancy Pelosi didn't follow her own COVID rules. We know fully that she was part of some really nasty COVID rule stuff. And we know full well she didn't wear a mask in San Francisco. San Francisco's crazy. They'll behead you if you don't have a mask on. I wonder if COVID shoots out your bloody neck, like a Mortal Kombat fatality. I wonder if what blood's shooting out, if COVID just gushing out, dude. Anyway, but why will they reelect Nancy Pelosi? To me, she's already violated the code. She's proven to be hypocritical, despite any, I mean, I don't keep up with modern politics much, so I don't claim to know anything about her past, really. But we know full well she didn't wear a mask when she was getting her hair done or whatever. And so we know she's a liar. We know she can't be trusted. That alone is a reason never to elect her again, in my mind. We don't want people of low integrity. We don't want people that are hypocrites that don't follow their own rules. And that's a big one. That's similar to the cop who gets busted with weed. I don't care if a cop smokes weed. I wish more cops did, to be honest. But if that cop was out busting other people for weed, we have a mega problem. A cop that gets busted for weed who's also busted other people for weed, I mean, that's, I'm not a fan of the death penalty, but it's, you know, it's bad. It's real, real, real bad. So why would we reelect Nancy Pelosi? I already know the answer. Mitch McConnell. Do you not understand there's a war out there? There's a threat. So if there is an enemy on the other side, we get to keep our piece of shit politician on our side. That's the gig. And for me, I can't get my head around, well, why? I have one vote for X seat. Why would I pick the person that is known to be to lack integrity, to keep it short? And I just wouldn't vote for somebody that I didn't think had integrity. I don't want a leader without integrity. So it's as simple as that. It's very binary. Do I want a shitty leader? Nope. And so even if my team picked somebody, well, I'm not going to vote for my team if my team picks shit. And that's where it gets real weird. So you pick your team. Let's just say it's Democrat. And then the DNC has their usual little corruptomatic mess. And it's supposed to be a really great book on the Hillary Clinton one. I got to dig that up. I got to find it. I'm going to talk about that. But the 2016 election supposedly was the DNC was about as corrupt as you can get. People like Bernie Sanders. And, you know, Bernie's, you know, pretty lefty. But I get the vibe he's less corrupt. I think he's less of a bullshitter. Maybe he's fooled me. Maybe I haven't kept track. I'm never going to vote for him. But I'd like to just to see people, a general tendency towards less corruption, I think would be good for us. So, whatever. But, yeah, so Mr. Sanders gets slaughtered now in two DNCs, two Democratic National Committees, and we know full well they were up to no good. So the DNC says, and so they pick their evil candidate. I already made fun of that evil word. They pick a piece of shit candidate like a Biden, who we already know is totally on board with America policing the world, Team America shit. You know, we know he's a hawk. We know he likes the military-industrial complex. We know he'll play ball with anybody, you know, all the nasty powers that definitely be. And we put up with it because, well, DNC said, that's my team. It's like, well, why would you pick that team? Why would you pick the DNC equipped team? Why would you pick the team with the DNC? You know that snake's poisonous. Wouldn't you find a snake that was less likely to bite you? Wouldn't you find a snake that's less likely to support your core values or share your core values? And that's where it's very interesting. I don't see how Biden is all that liberal. And this bombing kind of sums it up. But of course, I guess the definition of liberals changed. And I always talk about this. I've become quite a fan of vintage liberalism. I mean, not classical liberalism. I mean, vintage liberals from 03, when they used to protest like crazy the war. Green Day would make songs about how dumb Americans are. You know, American idiot. That was a good time in that. I wasn't super left or right then either. But at least you had people that were mad about a war. And now we're mad about Lady Gaga's dogs. But that's not the only thing we're mad about. I'm going to close here by saying, here are the headlines on my Twitter this morning, and this kind of represents what I've seen all week. I think it's important to read these. Here they are. What's happening? Trainer who was photographed sitting on a dead horse cannot run horses in Britain. That's number one. Number two, why the deep fake Tom Cruise videos are worrying. Number three, Lady Gaga's dog walker releases statement about harrowing attack. And then finally, trending in the United States, Dr. Seuss. All right, guys, that was a Brain Injury Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, which I don't know why you would, hit like. And if I pissed you off, tell me about it. And if you liked anything, tell me about it. I like a little interaction. That's how this modern system works. And of course, you can go to brandandre.com. You can follow me on all the Twitter and the Instagrams and all that crap. I do all that stuff. I'm doing Twitter a lot, but I'm trying to keep politics out of my Twitter account. I get wound up, and before you know it, you type for an hour and you delete it all. And blah, blah, blah. It's a mess. It's a time suck. So I'm trying to keep my Twitter just about my work stuff, which is more like my craft, my electrical engineering stuff. But follow me on Twitter anyway if you feel like it. I can derail Twitter and go politics and rant about my philosophical horseshit. So anyway, this is the Brain Injury Podcast. Glad you like it. Don't forget to subscribe if you're into that too. Over and out.